It's good to be with you guys. It's good to be here. Still praying for all our folks. We all got folks in our world that are sick right now. If you've got anybody in your world that is home with COVID or dealing with it right now, just raise your hand so we can be remembering you. Yeah, we're not taking pictures. Him. Watch out for him. Stay away from him. That was a joke. That was funnier in my head. Way funnier in my head. We're praying for our family members, and we're also praying for our country and for families that have lost daughters and sons and husbands and wives this past week. And we pray for wisdom and direction for our country. Do we not? And I'm thankful, so thankful for the country that I live in. I've been to 37 countries, and I'm telling you, we got a good one. There's some great places to visit, but you don't want to live there. Stop your griping. All right. I think one good trip would do a lot of you guys some good. I did not plan to say any of that. I don't do a script. Dyslexic guys don't script it out. So just buckle up. We're going to talk about Psalm chapter 1. Pastor Trey got into it a few weeks ago. But if I'm just one of those guys, if I've got a chance to be up in front of you, I can't walk through a book of the Bible with you, I can't go on a big long journey, what am I going to talk about? This is where I am as a believer a lot, what I need to be reminded of. So as you look for Psalm chapter 1, I will wait. We're just going to read the first part. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. He yields fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's good stuff. I wrote a song, I don't know, 10 years ago about this first verse. Because as much as we see how blessed you can be if you walk in the counsel of God, we see what happens when you don't, right? And what we see in that very first verse is this. This is our first point. We got 3 points. You can even write them down. I've even got a couple of spots where it's all one letter. I did that for Neil. That's coming up for you later. Number one, beware of the slow fade. Beware of the slow fade. There is no crash and burn in a believer's life. Doesn't happen. It happens like that on the news. It happens like that when you find out something. Everything was going fine, and all of a sudden, just everything went crazy. He just did this thing, or she did this thing, or something happened. It just doesn't happen. Things happen over time, don't they? People never crumble in a day. It's always a slow fade. And we're going to see that slow fade right here in the first verse. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Well, if you look at a person that does do this, you see a man slowly sitting down. You see somebody slowly fading away, right? First he's walking, then he's standing, and then he's sitting. But what does it all start with? Point number two, we're practically done. If you people just live it, we'd preach way shorter. I'm just saying, that's not real. Trey told me a couple things to slide in for him, so I'm just tossing some of that stuff in. Now, God's word must be our counsel. Where is your counsel? Where do you go when you're in trouble? Where do you go when you need advice? Where do you go when you need to make a decision? Where do you go when you are hurt? What is the source for you, right? Because if your source is not God's word, you're in trouble. The thing is, you may not be in trouble today. That's the scary part. If you could just have a bad thought and get a headache, this would be so much easier, right? But our minds just kind of go there, especially if our counsel is not the word of God. As a believer, Satan can't have you. He can't. You've been bought and paid for. You belong to the Father because of the Son, right? So what is the enemy going to do? What's he got left? Why is he even still doing this? He's coming after your time in God's word. That's what he's coming after. Because if he can get you to lean on anything else, he's got you. He's so patient. He's been doing this a long time. He made war with God, guys. Figuring us out took about that long, right? So if he can just get us away from truth and get us leaning on a few other things, and our roots and our feelers start going into other areas, that is the point. We start making decisions based on the wrong thing. We act on the wrong thing. We take revenge because of the wrong thing. We lean into other places to give us our comfort, our source, and then we're in trouble. God's word has to be our counsel. I want to read you something in 2 Corinthians. If you want to flip over there, it's just like 2 or 3 pages. That was just to see if anybody even remembered pages. Second Timothy chapter 4. Did I say it wrong? What'd I do? Oh, yeah, that's good too. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Don't argue with the preacher. I'm up on the stage and everything. It's got to be right. All right, 2 Timothy 4. What did I say? I'm writing a song about y'all in my head. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It's all good. I'm just trying to get y'all to skip around a little bit. All right. He says this to Timothy. These are some of the last things that Paul wrote. If you've ever been around someone who's at the end of their days, when they talk, you tend to lean in a little bit more. Has that ever happened? They have something they want to say to you, and they know that they might not have other chances to talk to you. The things that they do talk about, you need to lean in, right? So he's spent time with Timothy. He's poured into Timothy, and these are his letters to his boy. This is the guy that he poured it all into to keep going. He passed the torch to Timothy, yeah? This is one of the things he talked about a lot, but especially in chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Paul's all about a run-on sentence, isn't he? So he's showing by God has called me, he's called you, this is the God that's given me the heart to say this to you and the words to say to you. Listen to this. This is what he has to say. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. All right, that's one for all of us. You might not be a preacher, but you have not been in the mood to talk about Jesus before, haven't you? That's called out of season. You got to be ready to talk about him then too, right? So preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. This sounds so familiar. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves. They'll find someone to preach where their heart is that day, right? They're going to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths. As for you, you be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We are in a time when it used to be, you know, you had about one or two churches you could go to, and the guy up front was the one that taught, and he's the one that you listened to. Then the World Wide Web, right? Suddenly, man, YouTube, there's preachers everywhere. Who knew? They're all over the place. And we start surfing around, and next thing you know, we got rock star preachers now, right? We got preachers that everybody goes to because he says just the right stuff. And it's even better because he doesn't know me, right? That preacher doesn't know me. He can't look me in the eyes. He doesn't know when I fall asleep or when I don't show up. He just says good stuff, and I can pause him anytime. And if I don't like this sermon, I'll go to the next one. It's amazing. That's called picking and choosing, accumulating for ourselves. I'm going to find me an author that's just not too hard on me, right? It's very simple, very easy to do that. As a matter of fact, for years, it was so cool seeing Rhett. Totally rocked the scripture today. You killed it. And seeing him up here and Charlie be in the back and knowing that his mom and daddy, I was their youth pastor because I am old. And but one thing that I remember, I've been saying for years, is a lot of times people will come to you and say, hey, where's this verse in scripture, right? Because if you were like me, I wasn't in the word a lot when I was younger, so I would just have pieces of things in my head. Where's that verse? Now I Google, still sometimes, right? Where's that verse about this? Yeah? But I'd have students come to me a lot, and parents, that will say, hey, where's that verse that says this? And sometimes it's a verse from the Bible, and sometimes it's not, right? Where's that verse that says, if you just love Jesus, you're not going to have any problems anymore? Oh, I always have the same answer. Oh, that's in Second Opinions. Yeah. There's a lot of verses in that book. There's so many. There's so many verses in that book. I wrote a song about it just for you guys. You want to hear it? Guys, come on out. Come on out. Now, buckle up. When I told a few friends about the fact that I was going to write a song called Second Opinions, Second Opinions is a book that's not in the Bible. And that's where I file away all the verses that people quote constantly that aren't in the Bible. The Lord won't give you anything you can't handle. That's so pretty. It's not in the Bible. Nowhere, right? Paul does say what? He says, God will not allow you to be tempted to sin beyond what you can bear. That's an amazing promise. But if you don't think God's going to give you something you can't handle, you are in trouble. It's going to be a rough week. You can't handle anything without him, right? So that's a verse from Second Opinions. Then you got the lighter ones, you know, Lord helps those that helps themselves, that kind of stuff, you know. And my favorite one is, well, everything happens for a reason. Oh, that's cool. It's usually said right after something dumb that you told me you did, right? I did this thing, I got in a lot of trouble, but everything happens for, yeah, the reason was you're a moron. You shouldn't have done that. Don't blame that on Jesus. He had nothing to do with that. So, you ready for this? Mark@eagleslanding.org. Go ahead. You can go ahead and slam me on that. Where's my microphone so I can bless God's people? All right, let's give it up for the Casting Crowns behind me. Let's do this. One of the first rules of songwriting is if you're going to say some hard stuff, do it nice. Well, church, gather around, 'cause we got us a problem. There's a lot of inspiration floating around these days. Words that paint a pretty picture, but you won't find them in the scripture. That's because they're all from the book of Second Opinions. Just like follow your heart wherever it leads you. Just let that little voice inside you show the way. I guess the million-dollar question is that your heart or indigestion? 'Cause a heart's been known to lead a fool astray. It ain't hard to get hooked on the book of Second Opinions. We'd rather live our own truth. Don't tell us what to do, just what we wanna hear. It's high time we turned our interest to God's word instead of Pinterest, and finally closed the book of Second Opinion. We'll say everything happens for a reason, just to give our foolish ways a clever spin. I've heard it said the Lord won't give you anything you can't handle. The truth is we can't handle anything without him. It's not hard to get hooked
on the wood of second opinions. We'd rather live our own truth. Don't tell us what to do, just what we want to hear. It's high time we turned our interest to God's word instead of Pinterest, and finally close the book of second opinions. Or you say, I don't have to change, this is just the way I am. I got all the proof I need right here in my Enneagram. I can tell myself it's always been about me, so give myself a love and positivity. But all the good vibes in the world will never make a dead heart beat. That one's gonna get me some emails. Well, the world will tell you that all roads lead to heaven. But of that, there's just one thing I'd like to say. There's one throne and I'm not on it, one solid rock and I stand upon it. Cause Jesus is the truth, the life, the way. Try to sing it with me. It ain't hard to get hooked on the book of second opinions. We'd rather live our own truth. Don't tell us what to do, just what we wanna hear. It's high time we turned our interest to God's word instead of Pinterest, and finally close the book of second opinion. It's high time we turned our interest to God's word instead of Pinterest, and finally close the book of second opinion.
If you don't preach good, just write a song. That's why I started writing songs, because I wasn't really good at teaching, didn't know how. And so I would just write songs to say it. And this song is a little edgy. I get it. And the Enneagram thing hurt somebody. I just felt it. I felt it. And y'all are already clapping like, this is so good. Now, don't get me started. Let's just keep on moving. Let's turn over to let's turn over to Galatians. You there? Galatians chapter 1. This is the maddest that we ever see Paul, the apostle, in a letter. He's saying really strong things, and he's saying them twice just to make sure you heard him. And the reason was because the church had started with God's counsel. They had started in God's word. They were letting God tell them who they were. They were letting God tell them who he was. Yeah? And the reason we belong to God is because of Jesus, right? Belonging to Jesus isn't knowing more about him or doing more for him. Belonging to God is to surrender your life to his son to make him right, to make you right with God. It's because of Jesus, nothing else. Problem is, people in Galatians, the people of Galatia had a past. They had stuff they'd been taught their whole life. They had stuff that just seemed fair. They had things in their belief system that they just didn't know what to do with. So they just sort of wove it in, right? And it sort of kind of became, you know, Jesus saves you, but you also better remember this stuff too, right? And they said, this is how you do it. They did that in the Old Testament. Remember how many commandments were there? 10. And how many did they come up with from that? 644 rules, right? We're gonna love God so much, we're gonna make extra rules for you to follow. And as a matter of fact, rabbis back in that time would have called that fence building, right? So there's good fence building and there's bad fence building. So God gives you a truth and you want to honor that truth, right? So when you build a fence around it, you're saying, I don't want to even get close to that sin. I want to stay far away. So a great version of that would be Jesus says, hey, you've heard it say, you shouldn't have adultery. Well, you can't even lust. If it's in your head, you're going there. So I'm going to draw a fence around that sin, take a step even farther back, and you need to be careful of this, right? Jesus can do that. We have to be careful. If we're not careful, will end up saying things like, don't dance, it's a sin, right? And then we end up looking like two-headed weirdos to the world because we're teaching the fence like it's the law, right? Now, if we came at it in love and said, look, we need to flee sexual immorality, and you got to be careful in certain situations, in certain music, and in certain lighting, it can go dark on you, right? That's a good way to say it. But now we're like, no, dancing is a sin, right? That's bad fence building. So what you have in Galatians are people that they're not, these people aren't walking into the church going, right? They didn't come in with black head coverings instead of white, like the black hat and the white hat and the old Westerns. These weren't bad people, right? So I don't know that the false teachers actually maybe knew that they were false teachers. They were just tying in other things. They had other counsel coming into their world, and it just started coming out of them. And we've got it in us too. That's why we always have to go back to God's word, not our favorite preacher, our favorite author, our favorite video. We have to go straight to God's word because he has to constantly redefine some things for me, right? I didn't know how legalistic I was 10, 15 years ago until God started showing me in his word, right? And I had to really let God, I've been teaching this for a long time. Now I got to back up and let God teach me, right? So this is a big deal. And look at verse six here. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. I'm so astonished that you're deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and you're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And this is a really weird verse. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's strong. You know how we know it's strong? He says it again. Next verse, I'm not repeating. Verse 9. As we've said before, so I say it now again. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. This is serious stuff, right? And the word that always gathered my attention in that verse 8 was the word angel. Even if an angel from heaven would come down here and preach to you something different, you stick to what you just heard, right? And that's such a powerful visual because angels, we'll get off in that world for a while if we're not careful, right? Trying to imagine all that. But the weird word is not angel here, verse 8. But even if we, take the angel part out. Even if we came back in here and preached you a gospel contrary to the one that we did preach, let us be accursed. Now, that's an unusual thought. Why would Paul say that? If I come in here in a month and I'm preaching anything different from this, don't listen to a word I have to say. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. How would that even happen? It happens very easily, doesn't it? I've seen things happen in a person's life and change their theology. Tragedy can do it. We can be all about God's healing until the healing doesn't come the way we wanted it. And suddenly we start talking different about healing, right? Failure can do it. You fall. You commit a dark thing. You get called on it. Pretty soon, you can find a different way to think about that when you're in pain from failure. You can start figuring out it's this judgmental church. And now you hear the word deconstructing the gospel, right? What that means is somebody hurt their feelings. Somebody called them out. Something happened that hurt them. So now we're going to just step away from all of it, right? Someone that you love comes into you and says, I have a different way of looking at life now, and this is who I am now. That can change your theology if you're not careful. You with me? So we've got to always go back to God's word, even if you've read it before. I told myself years ago, the most dangerous thing in my hand is a highlighter. Because I highlight all the... I'm not saying don't do it. But we tend to feel like we've got those. Oh, I want to go to the one I haven't underlined. Right? I've read that verse already. No, I need to read this stuff over and over and over again. Because God's word is alive, living, and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts straight into the heart of us, cuts straight to the point, right? You'll find you a preacher that won't hit that point if you look hard enough. You'll find you somebody that'll agree with you somewhere, and then you can build a little club out of that if you're not careful. So we've got to keep going into God's word and let him be our counsel. A couple little things that God's word has to be. Number one, our counsel. James is my favorite book of the Bible. It's the first one I read because it's deep and spiritual and it's 2 pages long. That's why I read it. And in that scripture, it talked about the word of God being like a mirror, right? To be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, you're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself. You're like somebody walking up to the mirror and looking at your face and going, that's not me, and leaving and not changing anything. I've wanted to do that a few times, right? I think the next thing that's going to get canceled in this culture are mirrors, because you can't fix it. There's no filters. Pretty soon we're going to have filters on our mirrors. That's probably already a thing, right? So when you get up in the morning, you're not feeling so good, you don't have to think about it. Just get you a mirror that just makes you look perfect. You don't even have to worry about it anymore, right? That's why I don't want to look in the mirror in the morning. I've memorized where it is, right? And when I'm walking past, I'm going to the shower because I don't like anybody before shower, right? That's where I begin to love the Lord again. It's in the shower, just slowly, you know? But when I walk past that mirror, I know right where it is, and I'm not looking left to save your life. I don't want to see that, right? Have you ever had a part of your life where you didn't want to walk through the mirror? God's word has no filters. That's why God's word has to be our counsel, right? What's true about me is what God says about me, good or bad, right? So I've got to let God tell me who I am and let God remind me who he is constantly, constantly, daily, daily. And the enemy is fighting with everything he has to keep me out of that moment, out of that time. Because if he can get my counsel away from me, first I'm walking in the counsel of the wicked, I'm going to other places for my counsel, then I'm standing in the way of sinners, because I'm living and doing things that are throwing people and turning them off to Jesus. So much so that I start stepping far so back, now I'm sitting in the seat of scoffers because I don't want to hear the truth anymore. When you're hurting, we want comfort. When you're running, we don't want counsel. Honest time, you don't have to raise your hand. You ever been on your way somewhere you shouldn't be going and turn on your how many of you guys have Bluetooth? If you have an iPhone, I don't know what it is about Apple. They've decided you need to hear a song from your phone. If you turn your car on, it just starts playing you a song, right? And it's alphabetical. And for me, it's a song by Matt Maher called, I think it's called Abide in Me or something like that. And so every time I get in my car and I turn it on, the words are, Lord, slow me down, right? I cannot tell you how many times that first line of that song has gotten on my ever-loving nerve, right? Tell me I can't do it. Lord, slow me down. Okay, right? Right? But when you could control your radio and you got in your car heading somewhere you're not supposed to go and you turn it on and there's the fish. There's Joy FM playing some song. You're like, I'm just going to hit seek. I don't know if I need to hear that song where I'm heading right now, right? So we just start seeking a song that doesn't get in our business, right? That's a dangerous place to live. Dangerous place to live. God's word has to be our counsel. Number two, God's word has to be where we go for our convictions. We got a lot of convictions right now. Oh my goodness gracious. We got them. I had somebody in tears talking to me about they just cannot handle these plastic straws anymore. And they're going on a quest. We're going to get rid of those. And I thought, that's good, because we got so many sea turtles in McDonald's that we need you here, right? I'm just serious. Now, we have a lot of convictions, And it used to be, if you were going to share your convictions with somebody, you had to look them in the face. It's amazing how peaceful and thoughtful and loving we thought we were. No, we weren't really. We were just embarrassed to say what we were thinking. We're just a little cowardly to share our view. But now we're at home with our thumbs, and we are warriors, right? Woo! If God's not guiding that in you, there's plenty of convictions in the Bible. There's truth everywhere, but there's love too, right? So if I start getting my convictions from hashtags and websites and whatever, man, I'm gonna end off somewhere in the weeds every time. God's word has to guide my convictions. Number three, God's word has to be my compass. Has to be where I go for my direction. Pros and cons lists are great. Advice is great. I'll just tell you, normally everybody's advice for you when you're making a decision in life, for some reason, the right thing to do sounds a lot like what they did. You ever notice that? People tend to give us advice at crucial moments based on what happened to them. Or based on they love you so much, I wouldn't take that from that. I wouldn't take that. This is what you need to do because they love you so much. Out of love, they're going to give you terrible advice, right? When I was trying to decide whether or not to go to Bible college, there was no voice anywhere telling me that was a good idea. Being the LD kid, barely surviving school, I didn't even read music. And I went to a ministry school to study music, right? All I had was this verse in 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul was praying that God would take something away that he was dealing with. He had a thorn in his flesh. Because if you would just take this away, I could really go. I could do this ministry. Just take it away. I don't know what it was. I don't have no idea. I'll ask him one day. His story is probably way better than whatever I can make up. And he's praying three times for God to take the storm. But what does God say to him? My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. You know what he just said? I'm not going to heal you like you asked. Somebody needs that verse. Because Paul must have had some lousy faith, right? In this culture, it's just your faith. Your faith's just bad. Well, no. Apparently, God had a little bigger plan than Paul did, right? And that verse in there, I was told, God, if you'll make me read better and think better and process better, I'll go. And that was my rule. But I had to take my feelings to God's truth. And when I took my feelings to his truth, I had to face the truth. Your feelings are valid, but that doesn't make them true. You hear me? God's word is true. So God's word has to guide my decisions, has to guide me when I'm hurting, has to guide me in how I'm going to handle moments, what direction I'm going to go in a friendship, what direction I'm going to go in a job, what direction I'm going to go with my kids, what I'm going to do. He has to be my counsel and my compass in that moment. And the last one is he has to be my comfort. He has to be my comfort. The first online service we had when the church closed down, stood right up here, and I read from Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures, and it didn't even hit me until I read it out loud. Makes? Why does he make me lie down in green pastures? Because there's times in my life I don't even know what green is. I got my own ideas of what's green. I got my own ideas of how I'm going to get through this. What can get me through this? Who can get me through this? It's like, nope, that's not green, bro. You're going to die right there. I'm going to make you lay down here, right? And I see that. I don't need comfort without a king, and that's what we want. We want the comfort. We don't want the king. The Israelites wanted it so bad, they just made their own. Made one out of gold. They could roll it in when they want it, roll it out when they were done. That's where we're going in our hearts on some days, isn't it? When I was a kid, Montgomery, Alabama, I experienced my first hailstorm. I did not know what a hailstorm was. I just thought people were saying it was really bad. Get it? Okay. So I didn't know. You're learning stuff all the time. I'm like 10 years old. I'm out playing with my friend. I'm going to leave some names out of this because this is real. I'm out playing with my friend, my neighbor's house, and we're in the middle of our yards. So he's a corner lot, and my lot's here. It's my driveway, but then the corner wrapped around, and there's this big yard and a privacy fence where these demon dogs lived, where they ate, and they would eat people. We made that story up. And but me and the kid, we would play in the middle. That's like no man's land, right? There's my house, long, and then their house is over in the corner. So you just got this big kind of open field, right? We'd play there all the time, and I'll never forget the first one that hit me in the head. Because it's just raining for a minute. We're like, I don't even care, right? It's like a superpower if you don't care about the weather. I don't even care. I'm not even cold, right? So we're kind of feeling our coolness, and then one pops me right in the back of the head. Later on, after I learned what this is, it was a pretty big hailstorm. Ruined all the cars at the car lots. Insurance companies were shut down for a while. It was bad. But in my mind, I had no file for hailstorm, okay? If you've never seen a dog before in your or a horse before in your life, and a horse walked across the stage, you'd say, that's the biggest dog I've ever seen, right? Because your mind has got to do something with what's happening. I had no counsel for what hailstorm was. And they started falling. And we thought, because we're the little kids, we thought we were in a rock fight or something. Like people were throwing stuff because bullies happen, right? So they're falling, and he says something, I say something, we're doing this, and we're looking around, and we look out, and you see them hitting the black pavement. And you see these balls hitting the ground and bouncing up out of the sky. What is this, right? It's falling from the sky. I don't know if it's frozen. I don't know what it is. They're just round rocks from the Lord to kill us, right? I don't know what to do with this. It really hurts. We're little guys, but it was substantial. Big enough to dent a car. It was denting us too, right? I remember Jason and I getting up, forgot about everything we were playing with, and we were trying to figure out where we're going to go. Because we're in no man's land. We're in the middle, right? So I'm looking this way. My house is this way. Jason's house is this way. We're not even communicating this at the moment. You can just tell we're both trying to figure out what to do. And over here on the side, out of the corner of my eye, I see our neighbor's mom. Whoop, almost said her name. Thank you, Lord. She had this glass door over here. And she slid the glass door open. And she was doing this, right? His mom was beautiful. I was only 10, but I was going to marry his mom, right? Everything she said was so soft. Everything she said, Mark. Nobody said my name like his mom. She was just so cool. Hey, Mark. Mark. You know, that kind of thing, you know? And now that the heavens are falling, there she is. She's like, come, right? And we start running like a war movie through hail, right? We're getting beat to pieces, beat to pieces. We finally get to around the privacy fence to where the little concrete slab is, and you can see it just bouncing and bursting on the ground. And when we run in the house, his mom shuts that door, and I can't explain to you the change in sound, right? I mean, when we were out there, it was thunderous, just as they were all falling and bouncing and bursting and bouncing again. And when we got into her house and she shut that glass door, it was like, everything's okay, right? She sat us down. She told us, I'm so sorry, are you okay? And we're checking, make sure limbs are still on, right? She's comforting us. He's hugging his mom. And we're like, we're not even sure what we just went through. And there's so much comfort in that moment. It comforted me. The other thing you got to know about my friend's house is there was a cult forming at my friend's house. We didn't know. They'd be on the news in just a few months from that time. They had a brother move in, and brother and wife moved into the house, and they had to live there for a while for some reason. I didn't even notice the real changes over time. Hadn't noticed them to that point. I just noticed they were watching a lot of religious TV, and I didn't really know what that was. And they all talked really soft. And my dad, who's here, brand new believer, brand new. My dad got saved, and he brought us all to church. And God's word became our counsel. And even as a young believer, young in the word and young in all those ways, I remember dad saying, I don't know about those folks. I don't know about those folks, Mark. Something's not right over there. I still didn't know that. It was several months later. Jason started talking about strange things, talking about the end of the world's coming. You're not crazy if you're saying that. They pulled him out of school. Next thing you know, they were on the news. They had a name for the cult. Hit me later. I'll show you. But it was so comforting. Your heart will find comfort somewhere. You hear me? It's everywhere. There's comfort everywhere. It just doesn't last. You can find comfort in a lot of places. You can find comfort from pain, comfort from work. You can find comfort. But Jesus did not die to make us comfortable. That's not why he did all that. Jesus didn't die on a cross to make you happy. He died on a cross because you're guilty. Right? So we need him as a savior. But somehow we got this idea that all our problems are supposed to go away. We're just supposed to have comfort all the time. We're supposed to just feel great about everything, right? And when God is not your counsel, your heart will start looking. If God's not your counsel, you're going to run, and you're not going to want to hear what God has to say. When God's word's not your compass, you're going to end up in places you don't want to be. When God's word is not your comfort, you're going to find comfort somewhere else. You're going to be walking, then standing, and sitting. You hearing me? I'm talking to me. We have to guard our time in God's word. He has to be our counsel. There are a lot of verses out there that I hear people that don't know Jesus claiming, and I just want you to know God's promises are for God's people. If you're not a Christ follower, those are not comforting verses for you. Those promises aren't for you. God's promises are for God's people. And God's people are the people that have trusted in his Son. And he is the Lord of their life now. That's what makes us his. Yeah? If you don't know Jesus and you go to God's word, all you're going to see are rules and little inspirational motes that you can put on Pinterest. But they're not alive to you until Jesus is alive in you.